go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the 19th day of May, 2023. This program is live. This is the horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time madcap multimedia extravaganza. It is the horn chat room when this program is live. In those 3 hours, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, the great globe round. And where, if you pop in right now, you will be greeted by the early arrivers, Squeaky and Irish Dave, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, has elected not to fold space into the heart of the sun, or the man cave either, for that matter. He is capably assisted by Horn Chief Agronomist and Chief Mathematician, and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger, in Oregon. Hi, I'm Robin. It's Friday on the front porch here in about, 57 minutes or so. We will go over the river and through the trees to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, and wherein we keep the extraordinary ordinary round table around which we gather each and every Friday to discuss the events of the day and the events of the week. It's quite an enjoyable experience. If you've never participated in Friday on the Front Porch, feel free to do so. I'd love to see some new names and hear some new voices in there. Be nice to not be the only girl in the room. Not saying, just saying. But it would be. And there's a button at the top of HeadOn.live. Where was that word hiding? There's a button at the top of HeadOn.live that'll take you straightway to the aforementioned old holler tree so that you can participate. And I'd love to, like I said, I'd love to hear from you. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so, as a consequence, we begin with thanks for our 19th day of the month subscribers and contributors, those who have gotten started. And we had, last night, too. So, let's see here. Thank you indeed to Darlene in Connecticut, and thank you to Clayton. Thank you so very much, our two subscribers for the 19th day of the month. Thanks as well, jumping in yesterday, to Cecilia. Thank you, Cecilia, so very much. Thanks a ton. And so we find ourselves with a fundraising goal of $945. That's $45 of Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are wholly and entirely unfunded. We play catch up from time to time. It can't be helped. Hopefully, though, we will bring that down some, because even though the extortion demands of Appalachian Power have been put to bed for the time being. Well, there's other things that I have to attend to. Things like, you know, the internet that actually gets the program out, etc. The telephony that brings the stress line into the program. That kind of thing. If you'd like to help out, the button is at headon.live, right there on the main page. We'd love to have a new subscriber, or two, or three, or a dozen. And it would be monumentally helpful. So the way we do the subscription thing is you can either go over and sign up at Patreon on under the Contribute tab, or, you know, you can just use the Make This a Recurring Monthly Donation box there on the main page with PayPal. Either way is fine. That having been said, the morning began interestingly. And I have a question. Okay. Who dropped the dime on me to PETA? This has not happened, I don't know, maybe ever. But I got up this morning and I had a message from, well, okay, background. If we go back to it was Wednesday that I had the story about the vegan Bible, or at least the vegan book of Genesis from PETA, the so-called People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And we had some fun with it. Because it was frankly hilarious. I was particularly tickled by the account of Herbie, the shelter dog that was adopted and rescued by Abraham and Sarah from the apparently world's only Bronze Age animal shelter. And certainly the world's only Bronze Age no-kill animal shelter. Fess up. We're not going anywhere else with the program until somebody does. I think I actually put PETA in the show description Wednesday when I put up the podcast. Maybe they've got a crawler that just looks for mention of their name, but. From Katie Cryer, subject from PETA re Vegan Bible. Hi, Robin. We caught the recent discussion about PETA's AI-generated animal-friendly Bible. And though we may not always agree, appreciate you sharing our message with your listeners, which is at its core kindness to all. But is it? Since it seems you've been misled about our work, we hope you will please allow us the opportunity to clarify the life-saving work we do in our community. Life-saving. There's a video, PETA Saves, explores, as this video explores, PETA provides end-of-life services for people who can't afford to pay for their sick and dying animals to be put to sleep. Well, at least they haven't expanded into the end-of-life services for humans. Okay, here's the wrinkle. As well as for animals who are elderly, feral, sick, suffering, dying, aggressive, or otherwise unadoptable. When we take in adoptable and treatable animals, we place them in good homes or work with reputable shelter partners to help them find homes. PETA's rescue team is on call 24/7 rescue to offer relief to abused and suffering animals, and PETA takes in all comers without discrimination, admission fees, appointments, waiting lists, or other obstacles. Front groups for the meat, tobacco, and puppy mill industries try to deceive the pup. What about the fur industry? Don't they have a front group? Because I remember when they were running around throwing red paint on women wearing fur. try to deceive the public about this aspect of PETA's work because they benefit from exploiting animals for profit and have a financial interest in propagating misinformation. I hope this gives you a better look at our work. Thank you for your time. Kind regards, Katie Cryer, Manager, Media Relations, PETA. My life. No, really, somebody fess up. Bitches, snitches, get stitches. Come on, who did it? Who did it? You know who you are. Herbie, the Bronze Age shelter dog. I guess the AI named the dog Herbie. Oh, well, I've never gotten a letter from PETA before, so we'll just add this to the list of strange little things that have attended my life since beginning this program almost 20 years ago. And then Robin became a PETA advocate. So many things in her life had changed. Why not also PETA? I mean, it could happen. I don't see it, though. And I'm trying to how does the tobacco industry front group fit into deceiving the public about their PETA's kill services? And the thing is, I didn't see anything from the meat industry, the tobacco industry, big meat. Yeah, I guess at one point in time, the former sort of president of the United States was a part of Big Meat. God bless you, John Goodman, wherever you may be this fine day, for that sketch on Saturday Night Live years ago playing Rex Tillerson. There I was one day, most powerful man in the world, and the next day I'm being fired by a man who sells meat through the mail. Big meat. I mean, big tobacco. Puppy mills are gross. Okay. If you are looking for a four-legged friend, far better to go to your shelter. Because there's a kitty or a puppy there who is absolutely waiting and yearning for their forever friend, their forever human, and their forever home. As opposed to being, there you go, up you go, onto the rainbow bridge, don't dawdle, don't stop looking around, up, there you go. Yeah. But how does Big Tobacco figure in sliming PETA? I mean, I know that Big Tobacco is awful. Big Tobacco is terrible. Big Tobacco, just like big oil, big hydrocarbon, big fossil fuel, deceived governments and entire countries and peoples about the damaging effect of tobacco, just as big hydrocarbon did with climate change. But When Katie here says that the big tobacco is deceiving people about PETA's kill work, what? Soylent Green is fluffy. I don't know. I just have this vision of a Rottweiler sitting around smoking a meerschaum pipe or something. I know, I'm being silly. Thanks for the note, Katie. I appreciate it. I don't share your philosophy of everybody over humans. I'm a humanist myself. I'm an unrepentant pro-human. But thanks for reaching out. It's nice to hear from you. And I hope you have a lovely life. Lee in New York said, PETA, you seem to need a scapegoat. I am willing to volunteer for the blame. I'm used to it. Lee in New York. Why are you used to it? I'm not going to make any assumptions, Lee. Scapegoat. Stop scaping the goats! That's cruelty, too. Poor little Judas goat gets all the... Yeah. There's a long conversation to be had about humanity and our status as omnivores and the like, but maybe if you want to get into it during the front porch, we certainly can. I'd love to hear y'all's thoughts. I saw Brother Deacon Asa pointing it out and Steve pointing it out. Brother Deacon Asa said, I done fucked up yesterday, Robin. And he's referring to something Steve sent along May 19th, 2015, on this day, 8 years ago. Bill, Mr. Stress Miller, exited stage left. Wherever he is, I hope he's been jamming since he left us. I tell you what, the Heavenly Blues Band got themselves one hell of a harp player 8 years ago. I still miss Mr. Stress. He was always so eager to learn and talk and discuss the particularly historical topics. 8 years ago. Yeah. Oh, Randy Radar, stop it. New from Ronco, the Goatscaper 3000. Scapes all your goats of every variety. Fainting goats, Nubian goats, milk goats, meat goats, yard maintenance goats. I need a couple of goats, honestly. If I thought... that they wouldn't be immediately slaughtered by the Confederate Rottweilers next door. It would be the best thing I could possibly do to clear this acre, because it needs clearing, and all the old guys with brush hogs seem to have gone away, and I've got all those trash maples. And, you know, okay, I'll put that in the program description this evening, too, and I'll get a, I don't know, probably get a note from the... people for the ethical treatment of trash maples. What would that be? Pet them? Well, that's funny even in its own right. But a couple of goats would be great. And goats are fun to have around. And you'll notice I got through the whole PETA thing without saying it stands for people eating tasty animals. Proud of myself. Emilio said, stop it, Robin. You don't mess with PETA. They have enforcers. PETA is the only group Agent Fred is afraid of. Yeah, it's like something from The Usual Suspects. I don't believe in God, but I'm afraid of PETA. You're just getting a bit... Get in the back of the van, Miss Kincaid. No, I don't want to go in the van. this may prove to be one of those programs. But yes, I fondly remember, heaven knows, dozens of conversations with Bill Mr. Stress Miller. The night that he explained how it came to be that he nearly punched out Chrissy Hynde of the Pretenders was one for the ages. But all those conversations were. And I have a note from Baltimore Bob. Subject line, Liar's Paradox. Riddle me this, Robin. Why is it illegal for non-members of Congress to lie to Congress, but perfectly legal for members of Congress to lie to each other? Shouldn't the oath of office include the obligation to be always truthful, particularly at committee hearings? Oh, devoutly to be wished. But I don't think the Republican Party could exist if it had to tell the truth. God knows the maggots couldn't. Oh, and it was May 18th was the actual day of Mr. Stress's passing. But I appreciate both you, Asa, and you, Steve, remembering that. So let me go back to Baltimore Bob. I think the ability to lie as a member of Congress can probably, well, our scapegoat here, see, we have a theme. Our scapegoat here is the speech and debate clause of the Constitution. Because it says that a member of Congress can pretty much say or do anything as long as it falls under the broad heading of speech and debate in the performance of their constitutional duties. That's my best guess. Lord knows if you modified, Bob, if you modified the oath of office for members of Congress to make them tell the truth, Congress would never, Republicans would never be able to speak. I wish I was joking. Randy Radar said, my brother had a Doberman. One day they were out walking and the dog got mauled by a pit bull. Oh, I love Dobies. Dobies, you know, basically Dobies come from a cross between Greyhounds and Rottweilers. And they can be such sweethearts. You may recall the beginning of every month features Bruce and Karen's Memorial Challenge. Well, that started life as Shirley's Challenge. Because Shirley was Bruce's beloved Doberman. And, oh, God, she was so well-behaved. He picked me up at the airport one day in Minneapolis, and Shirley was with him. And I sat in the front seat, and Shirley was in the back. And it all the way from Minneapolis to their home in Wisconsin, Shirley was absolutely devoted to the idea that she, by God, was going to get in the front seat and sit her very large Doberman self in my lap, which she eventually accomplished, and, oh, so sweet. She curled into as tiny a little Doberman ball as she could and spent the rest of the ride giving me kisses. Almost brings tears to my eyes. Shirley and Agnes, they were Bruce and Karen's doggies. And I have video, or had video, of Shirley and Agnes romping in the Wisconsin winter snow, which for short-haired dogs, they nonetheless absolutely loved. They romped in about 2 feet of snow and then came bounding back to the house and were like, okay, that was great. Let us in. We're cold. Did anybody tell y'all this is Wisconsin and we're Dobermans? It was beautiful. And they can be just such gentle souls. And yes, I'm convinced that if to the extent that anyone has a soul, No, Randy Radar, not strapped to the roof of the car. I said Bruce. Bruce, not Willard Romney. And Shirley was a lovely, lovely Doberman girl. Poor Seamus was an Irish setter. The mental image of Seamus strapped to the top of the Romney family truckster still just breaks my heart. And makes me laugh. I really shouldn't, but because it evokes the scene from National Lampoon's First Vacation movie. Never mind. Not strapped to the roof of the car, Randy. As regards Mr. Stress, Steve in New York says, one thing just occurred to me about him. He seemed to always be a seeker of knowledge and to seek to understand things he was not familiar with. Yeah, that's the definition of a lifelong learner. And toward the end of his life, he was absorbing as much as he possibly could about the Korean conflict. And we had conversations about that. He was someone to aspire toward in terms of his dedication to continued learning. God, that man could play a harp. Mercy. And sing. Hell of a blues singer. Matt in San Francisco with a note, subject line, PETA. I'm concerned they might be overfunded. If they have the resources to monitor a lady in West Virginia, they may be overstaffed. I stand by my like vegan brownies taste assertion. I would never expect or want you to compromise your values, Matt. Like vegan brownies taste. I know. I tried, and this is not the same. I tried that keto-friendly bread. I'd just rather not eat bread. And I got into the salt rising bread today. Bless her. Annette made me a couple of grilled cheeses. And oh, I was a happy girl. Velveeta. Velveeta. Soylent Green is Velveeta. Convinced it's made from... I mean, how else can it just sit out on the shelf unrefrigerated? It's made from petroleum byproducts and plankton. Like vegan brownies taste. Matt. So we have that mystery to solve. But by the same token, I don't want anyone thinking that I'm making light of Katie. Katie Cryer, the media relations manager for PETA. She's rungs upon rungs upon rungs on the PR ladder above people who flack for the coal industry, the oil industry, any maggot Congress critter. And let me be clear in that. This is a good starting place because it's kind of a follow-up to a previous story. Bruce Castor, formerly the district attorney for Montgomery County, Maryland, recently quit representing creepy old man Rudy Giuliani. This past Tuesday, he submitted a motion to be relieved as counsel in a civil suit in which he was representing the rude man. And he didn't mince words. This is a suit brought by the Delaware County voting machine supervisor, who has been subjected to harassment and hatred as a result of conspiracy theories that were promulgated, he alleges, in part by Rudy Giuliani. Given the amount of harassment that he subjected to Ms. Dunphy to, one wonders when he had time. But in the motion to be relieved as counsel, Bruce Castor said, he's not cooperating, and he's not paying me. In a published report, the Inquirer said, Castor initially agreed to serve as Giuliani's local lawyer, but a lawyer from Texas was supposed to take over from there. That didn't happen. Castor, according to his motion, reluctantly tried to defend Giuliani. The motion, which meticulously recounts Castor's four decades in law and politics, dabbles in a bit of intrigue in two sections. And among other things, Giuliani's law license was suspended in New York, June 2021, over the falsehoods that he spread in Pennsylvania about the 2020 election. So Montgomery County, PA. And the story took me to the front page of the Inquirer, and I don't know where the story is. Oh, well. I have a feeling that's going to become one of the least of Rudy Giuliani's problems going forward. And then in the world of salacious gossip, you might recall the name of Karen McDougal. She's the one we forget, or at least I am prone to forget about, because Stormy Daniels captured so much of the attention regarding Nitwit Nero's sleazy affairs. Karen McDougal, beautiful woman, former Playboy model. Well, she got paid off, along with porn star Stormy Daniels. And her testimony and Stormy's will both be vital to the Manhattan DA's prosecution of Nitwit Nero. Well, Karen McDougal's affair with Nitwit Nero was before the 2016 campaign, of course. And she still says that, and this is the part that you just kind of go, oh, gross, honey. Know your worth. In an article from the Daily Mail, take that for what it's worth, she said that she and Stormy had a totally different affair with Nitwit Nero. Because her, Karen's, affair went on a lot longer. And that they were... Oh, dear, there goes dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. They were in love. It was a loving relationship. Speaking of the Daily Mail, she said, his people have denied it, but he's never denied it. A reporter asked him, did you have an affair with Karen McDougal? And all he said was, I've done nothing wrong. He knows I'm telling the truth. And he never said, she's not my type. Because she is. I was in love with him. He was in love with me. I know that because he told me all the time, he'd say, you may be. Oh. You're my baby and I love you. He showed me off to his friends. I'm portrayed as the disgruntled woman, but I'm not that woman. I ended it. You know, after participating in an affair with a married man. Homewrecker! Somehow I just imagine Melanoma saying, "No, no, please, please! You're giving me some relief! I'm going to go and take a nap in my box." Sorry. No, I'm not! Those horrible people deserve all the derision and derision that we can heap upon them. I'm not that woman. I ended it. And she broke it off with Nitwit Nero, according to her account, after she started dating, well, after she met Bruce Willis. I really am going to have to go to that link and download some of that cheesy whorehouse piano music.
You're my baby and I love you.
Can you imagine that jiggling adipose lump of protoplasmic jealousy and hatred saying
I love you
to you? Ooh wee. I may lose some weight now. It's a pity it may be those two grilled cheeses. Speaking of Velveeta, Steve in New York says it's like 21st century Brondo, just with no electrolytes. You're absolutely right. Well, shitsy. All right, stand by.